Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Very, very powerful prayer. I always say it's important to invoke the Holy Family in prayer. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you, save souls. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you, save souls. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you, save souls. I usually repeat that over and over and over and over again when I'm battling any form of temptation. Just bring that in. And sometimes I find myself just repeating that title over and over again, just repeating it. Sometimes I've woken up in the middle of the night repeating that, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you, save souls. Very powerful. Again, very powerful. You know, we really lost the understanding of these, what they call, in the past, they called them holy ejaculations, because what they did was they were short prayers. They were like spears. This is how they described it, like spears, like darts, flaming darts at the enemy, flaming darts at the enemy, you know, to destroy the enemy. That's the power of those prayers, those really short ones. We don't say them anymore, but we are called to say them at all times, everywhere we're at, because they really do preserve us from temptation, from attacks of the evil one. We'd be surprised how powerful they are. Again, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you, save souls. That's the one I would recommend over all of them. You know, another one that I would recommend is, I surrender Jesus, over and over, over again, powerful prayers. Well, who is this Holy Family that I would be invoking, we would be invoking? Because we really need to know the Holy Family. If we're going to be invoking them, we better know them. We better know who we are invoking here. And in order to understand the Holy Family, we really have to go back to the garden. We have to go back to the beginning of the story. You know, you can't start a book in the middle and expect to understand it. You really can't. You need everything set up from the beginning. Just like I said in my Christmas homily, we need to know the story in order to appreciate what we have. And so what do we have with Mary and Joseph? Let's go back there. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go even further back. Now, let's go way back to the Holy Trinity. Now, I pulled out my phone on purpose because I want to make sure I get this right, because it's very important that I do get this right, okay? And, you know, I want to quote St. Gregory Nazianzus, okay? A very, very great church father, one of those great church fathers. And, you know, one of the things that, again, for some weird reason, I really feel like this desire to step out front and defend St. Joseph. You know, it's easy for us to defend Mary. You know, we defend Mary a lot. But we let poor St. Joseph fall by the wayside, because he's one of these saints who's rarely known. But he's a very, very powerful, powerful saint. He's known as the terror of demons. The terror of demons. Wow. So who is this Saint Joseph, and why should we respect him? Why should we have that deep respect for him? Because God prepared him, as I've stated before. God prepared him to take Mary as his wife and Jesus as his foster son, to protect them. He was called to protect them, to do what Adam did not do. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But who is this St. Joseph? Let's talk about him. A lot of people say that St. Joseph was married before. I already covered this subject, but bear with me again as I cover it again with you all. Who was this St. Joseph? A lot of people say that he was married. No, he wasn't married. He wasn't married. He took a vow of virginity. Listen to what St. Gregory of Nazianzus says here about them. St. Gregory of Nazianzus taught this, beautifully taught. Okay? He said, he taught that God, the Holy Trinity, is the first virgin. Think about that. If you really get down to it, think about that. God, the Holy Trinity, is the first virgin. God the Father virginally generates the Son, who is a virgin, who existed in heaven without a mother from all time. And the Holy Spirit is a virgin, that proceeds from the Father and the Son. Now, why is this so important for us here? Why is this so important? Because now, take a look, because the Holy Trinity, as St. Gregory of Nazianzus would say, mirrors, the Holy Family mirrors the Holy Trinity. Jesus is a virgin. Mary is a virgin. So why would Joseph not be a virgin, reflecting the same, since he is the foster father of Jesus? And since I've said in my past homilies that the Holy Spirit, as a blessing to St. Joseph, for St. Joseph's holiness, his humbleness, his righteousness, actually gave some genetic traits, those genetic traits to Jesus. So Jesus looked like his father, and like his father Joseph. He had some of the same genetic traits as his father Joseph. What a blessing, and therefore making Joseph an icon of the Father. What a great blessing that is. See, we so rarely understand St. Joseph that we don't realize the impact that he has and how God has really truly prepared St. Joseph to be the spouse of Mary, to be the foster father of Jesus, to be the guardian of the Holy Family. Now, did you know, going back again, too, looking at the story, you know how Joseph took Mary and Jesus back into Egypt? Isn't that interesting how he did that? Who else does Joseph remind us of? Who else is Joseph? Did you know that Joseph's father's name was Jacob? Joseph's father's name was Jacob. And you're like thinking, okay, so what, father? You know, so what? Big deal. Okay? My dad's name is David. All right? All right. There's always a story. I'll tell you, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent. You know, I just like, who cares if his name's Jacob? Well, you know what? You can tell my mom's really Catholic, okay? Because, like, she names my big brother David. She names me Jonathan. Now, think about that. Who was David's best friend but Jonathan? So what's my mom saying? She wants the brothers to be good friends. All right? So see, there's power there. There's power because, see, my mom knew the scriptures. And so if we knew scriptures, we would understand too why it's so important that here's Joseph having these dreams and his dad's name is Jacob. Hello, guys, let's do this right. Okay, let's go back to Joseph back in the Old Testament. Joseph and his brothers, you know, the brothers who sold Joseph into slavery. And Joseph ended up into Egypt. And they called Joseph the dreamer because he had all these dreams. And guess what his dad's name was? Jacob. There's a lot of comparison there. There's a lot of similarities there. Because Joseph goes into Egypt, he's sold into Egypt, basically, and he brings his family to Egypt to protect them from the famine. Joseph brings his family to Egypt to protect them from Herod, who wants to destroy them, who wants to kill them. Joseph has these dreams. He listens to God, just as Joseph in the Old Testament listened to God. It shows that Joseph's heart was open. It shows that Joseph's heart was open. That it was in communication with God. Now, why is all of this so important for us? Why is this so important for us? You know, when Joseph took his Mary and Jesus back into Egypt, Egypt was full of pagan demonic gods. And so when they crossed the border and went to Egypt, the pagan gods, it says in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 9:1, it might be 19:1, that it talks about it's a prophecy of Christ returning, God returning back to Egypt, and the pagan gods falling over. In other words, they out of fear they were scattered. they, out of fear, they were scattered. Joseph is the terror of demons. Joseph had to protect his family against the evil, against the demonic. And Joseph stood his ground. He stood his ground where Adam failed. You know, Jesus Christ is, Adam is a type of Christ, but Adam failed. But Joseph, in a way, is a type of the new Adam here also. Just like Jesus is the Adam, new Adam, Joseph is a type of Adam. Why? Because Joseph's duty was to guard and to protect his family, to keep them safe from all harm and danger, to defend where Adam failed. Adam failed in defending his wife, keeping his wife from sinning. Not that Mary would ever sin, but Joseph protected his family against whatever attacks came against them. Joseph did not flee, though he wanted to, because he found himself unworthy to marry, to be betrothed to Mary. He wanted to leave, but instead he stayed and remained faithful to his family. He stayed and remained faithful to his family. Now, what does this say about the call of the men today? What are men called to do? They are called to remain faithful, to be protectors of their family, just like Joseph was, to be the terror of the demons that come against the family on a daily basis. Fathers are to be prayerful, like Joseph was prayerful, to listen to God's word and to protect them from falling into sin, to call them to holiness, something that we don't see very much in today's society, but hopefully I think in a way it is increasing because men are beginning to realize their call. And as they draw closer to God and they find the strength of God, then they will stand up and defend their family. They will call them to perfection. They will love them to perfection. See, that's what the second reading said. That love was specific. That love was geared towards perfection. It was geared towards perfection. And so, in other words, calling their kids to holiness, calling their wife to holiness, to working in union with the wife to raise a holy family. But in order to do that, the man must be a man of prayer. He must stand firm in that area of his life. Does that mean he's going to be perfect? No, he's not going to be perfect. He's not, you know, we pray that we will be perfect as men, and we strive towards that holiness. But it is difficult in today's world. Does that mean that we're going to sin? Yeah, we're all going to fall. Just like when, you know, if we go into battle, we might get wounded in battle. So we got to get up. We got to get patched up. We have to get to confession. We have to be healed up. You know, when a father is spiritually strong, the demons stand in terror of the family. When the father is spiritually strong, the demons stand in terror of the family because the father is reflecting Saint Joseph, the terror of the demons. He will willfully lay down his life to preserve his family's lives. His family's life. He will give his life for his wife. Now, should a woman usurp the husband's authority? No, Mary was by far perfect, without sin. And yet she humbled herself. She humbled herself before Joseph. She did not question Joseph. You didn't hear Mary saying, "Why do we have to go to Egypt? Why do we have to go to Egypt? Tell me right now. I want to know." No. If you notice, Mary was silent. Mary was silent. But, you know, men don't like puff up your chest and think, yeah, that's the way my wife should be. You know why Mary was silent? Yeah, she was perfect. But she recognized in St. Joseph that righteousness, that man who was united with God and willing to do what was right and just for the family, willing to lay down his life for the family. See, and that's what St. Paul talks about when he talks about wives and husbands. Wives, submit yourself to your husband in obedience, for he is head of the family. Husbands, love your wife as Christ has loved his church. And what did Christ do for his church, his bride? It's right there in front of all of us. He laid down his life for his bride. When a woman sees a man willing to do that, she's going to follow that man. She's going to follow that man because she has trust that he's going to get her to heaven. Just like Mary knew that Joseph would get him to Egypt out of harm's way and get him back from Egypt to Nazareth without harm. Mary knew that. And so men, we have to step up to the plate. I say we because me as a priest, myself as a priest, you guys are my children, this is my bride, the church. I have to be willing to lay down my life too. I have to be willing to make sacrifices. I have to be willing to speak the truth at all times out of love, agape, which is salvific love, to get everybody to heaven here. At the cost, whatever it might cost, whatever ridicule, whatever anger, whatever hate is thrown my way. But when a priest is holy and speaks the truth, he is the terror of demons, because he's protecting his family. And when a father is holy and is striving to get his family to heaven, he is the terror of demons. In a family, when the father is weak, when the head is weak, Satan knows it, and he'll come in and he will attack the family. How many husbands and wives look at their kids and say, oh, you know, when a kid does something bad, that's not me, man, that's you. That's you. You know, the sad thing is, it's probably truthful. So when we point out those qualities, lack of quality, I should say, about each other, that's a warning sign that we have to take. When we see our kids beginning to act out the way we act out, we need to straighten out our lives. Husband and wives, when you live together, when you speak together, when you're talking, your kids hear every word. Your kids are formed by you. If you want holy kids, remember how you speak to one another. If you use vulgarity, your kids are going to use vulgarity. If your kids see you fighting and angry with each other, yelling at each other, if a dad beats down his wife emotionally, your sons and your sons see that, how do you think they're going to treat their wives in the future? And a girl who sees her dad doing the same thing, guess what she does when she gets older? Because she recognizes a man's love. She understands a man's love via her dad. And if a girl sees, if a daughter sees her dad treating her mother as such, guess what she does? She's going to think that that's the type of man she's supposed to marry. And that's the type of man she pursues. Because it's a woundedness that mom and dad give to their children. It's a woundedness that is inherited by the children through the family. And those wounds need to be healed. They need to be healed. And it's just like a mother, if she uses a son, if she uses a son as an emotional cushion, I hate to tell you guys this, but you already know it, men know it at least, we are not emotional like women. All right? We are built differently emotionally, but if a woman, if a mother uses her son as an emotional pincushion, she's going to over-feminize him. And guess what happens? Guess what happens? You know, there are such connections about the family. I was talking to an exorcist, and many of you guys know Father Chad Ripperger. And Father Chad Ripperger would state this. He would state that it's amazing how you see when a parent comes in and begins to confess sexual sins, especially pornography, anything like that. It's amazing when you get their kids into the confessional, how you hear the same thing from the kids and you're wondering, where in the world is that coming from? Because it's a spirit that enters into, it's a demonic spirit that enters into the family. When the head of the family is weak, it opens a door for the evil one to come in. And the evil one attacks everybody. The kids included. Because we see Herod wanting to destroy those children. Herod is a symbol of the evil one. And so when the head is weak and not listening to God and stays in a place of harm, if Joseph would have stayed there, Jesus would have been killed. If a husband, if a mother or a father stay in the state of sin, we put our children in jeopardy. If we do not listen to God calling us out to leave and to flee that which harms us, if we do not listen to Him, we leave our family in harm's way. We need to fight the good fight. We need to be prayerful in today's society. We need to stand firm in our prayer and remain faithful to our Lord God. Listen to Him. Follow Him. For His rules and regulations that He has set up are all for protecting us. And He's given us the Holy Family as an example. And so let us do battle against the evil of this world by strengthening our family. And let us attack the evil one when he attacks us. Let us not fall, but let us stand firm and attack him. And let us call out on the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you. Save souls.